So this one's actually pretty neat. I am in my neighborhood in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and we're going to visit my neighbor, who I didn't know was my neighbor, Alex Price. He's a 32-year-old marathoner who just qualified for the Olympic marathon trials. Ran a 2:15 out in California, which, if you're not a marathoner, is really good. Of course, obviously, if you're running a time that qualifies you for the Olympic marathon trials, you are running pretty fast. So we're gonna go check in with him to learn more about his story. He didn't grow up in Bethlehem, so we're gonna learn more about where he came from, how he plans to train for the trials. Hopefully we're gonna see him out on the roads, and it should be a lot of fun. We're wishing him the best, and it's always great to have a celebrity in the neighborhood, so let's hop to it. We made it to the home of Alex Price. Alex, thank you so much for having me into your home. We were gonna take a walk around the neighborhood, a little too icy, and I didn't want you to hurt anything prior to or during your training.
Yeah. Yeah, and I appreciate you taking the time and coming by. That's, I looked out the window. I thought, you know what, just come inside. It's a beautiful day, but
it would have been fun. I was trying to be cute, but you went out for a training run today. How is training going?
Good. So I'm 2 weeks away or 2 weeks removed from the race. So I took a full week off to just let my body recover and just work out all the aches and pains and things like that. So this week it's I'm actually thankful it's an easy week because the weather has been tough. The sidewalks are a little bit of a nightmare. So just easing into it a couple miles a day just to start getting the legs back under you. So very low key as of right now.
Sure. Before we go into all about you, I kind of want to get people up to speed with what happened. You know, so you were out in California, the California International Marathon. Ran a 2:15 and change, and that qualifies you for the Olympic marathon trials, which are taking place
in 2028, and they haven't said where it is yet. Yeah. There's rumors it's going to be in Phoenix, so it's going to be March of 2028. So we have a little bit of time here.
And much different than today's weather.
Much different. And that's the thing. I love running in the cold, so I'm a warm person naturally. So I actually enjoy running on the cooler temps. So back to the previous trials was in Florida for the 2024 Olympics. And it was really hot and really humid and gross. And I'm really hoping that's not the case because, I perform a little bit better when it's
this weather. You're a Pocono Mountains guy, right?
Yep.
So let's learn more about you. You went to Pocono Mountain East, I believe, and then Susquehanna University. And that's D3. I'm not going to get too much into it. I went to Moravian and ran at Moravian D3. So from a fellow D3 guy, it's amazingly awesome to see you perform at such a high level. Can you talk a little bit about your running career? How did you originally get started as a young guy?
So growing up, I played baseball and I was a skier. So I love skiing in the winters, played baseball in the spring and summer and fall. And it actually, so funny enough, I have an older brother who's 2 years older than me, and he had a number of guys who were on the cross country team. And so my brother joined because he had a number of friends who were on the team. And I likely would have never found cross country or track or running unless my brother kind of paved the way. So in high school, I stopped playing baseball, still skied the winters, but then picked up cross country and track. And that was kind of the foundation.
And was it for you? Like, were you just, you did well enough that I'm imagining you got some recruitment. I mean, Susquehanna is no joke.
A little bit. So funny enough, I was good. I would say I was a good runner in a small pond though. So up in the Poconos, the running community is not nearly as large as it is down here. And there's just not as it's not as popular of a sport, so to speak. So I would say I was a bigger fish in a smaller pond, but, it was one of those things like in high school, I never qualified for the state meet, whether it was cross country or track.
Really?
I made it to districts. I never won our conference. I was close a couple times. So funny enough, I really didn't have a ton of, my phone wasn't ringing when I was going to college. I wasn't getting offers left and right. There were a couple coaches here and there, but so there's going to be a trend to this. So my brother also went to Susquehanna University, and so he's 2 years older. So, my junior and senior year of high school, I would go to visit him and meet the team and meet the coach and just be around that group. And to me, it just kind of made it a no-brainer. I fell in love with the school, the program, everything. So the coach, Marty Owens, he had reached out because my brother was on the team. So he and I had a couple of calls. And like you said, to your point, Susquehanna was a strong Division III program.
Sure,
they were very competitive. It was a great school academically and athletically. So it just kind of stars aligned. And that's what got me there. So my phone was not ringing.
I think we're going to, as we progress now to get to this ultimate level, I think that's really an interesting thing because you kind of think, oh, you're the track star, you know, you're winning everything out. So
not good that you're not, you know what I mean? But it's just like it's an interesting base. Yeah. So then talk about your career at Susquehanna. You know, how does that progress for you?
Yeah, so I would say the level of training progressed, I think, very naturally for me. So in high school, we were doing a little bit of mileage and was just starting that foundation. And then when I made the transition to college, it really started to ramp up the training. So more miles. Like I said, my coach really knew what he was doing. He was a great runner in his own regard, triathlete, and he really helped sculpt athletes. Took guys who might not have been the best and really developed them over their 4 years. And I think the other benefit of going to Susquehanna is I had guys that were better than me that were on the team.
Sure.
So I always had people to chase. I had people to work out with, and it really just allowed us to really push each other. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of steadily progressed from freshman to sophomore to junior to senior year. It just was already making progression that I didn't think would be possible. I was already on a trajectory that was already ahead of where I thought I would get to.
So how do you end up like kind of rounding out your collegiate career? Mm-hmm. What were some of your highlights before you graduate?
Yeah, so a couple of highlights. So I would say in my senior year, two of the highlights, I won the Landmark Conference 5K indoor and outdoor track and field. We won a team title in cross country and in outdoor track while I was there. And then in cross country, my senior year, I qualified for the NCAA meet as an individual. So I would say that was likely the pinnacle of my college career, just qualifying for that race. That was a big goal of mine. And to get to that race was just an honor in itself.
Right. And now let's be honest, right? Your D3 guy, that's huge accomplishment. Mm-hmm. You're going to graduate and now you have a great career and a wonderful home and mm-hmm. a wonderful family and a financial advisor. And for most people, that's great. You know, maybe you continue to run 5Ks and stuff and mm-hmm. have some fun. What did you think then when you graduated in terms of your athletic career? Like what did you have like a turning point or?
A little bit. So actually I took a step back from running after graduating, getting adjusted to everything you just said of figuring out work-life balance. I'm from up in the Poconos. So I was commuting down to Bethlehem. So that was eating up a lot of time.
Sure.
And it was just, so running not necessarily took a, it just took a backseat for a while. I was still running here and there, but nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. And I graduated in 2015. And then so back in 2017, my brother and I actually decided to run the New York City Marathon. And that
you
was
and your brother,
of,
man.
We're kind of inseparable.
Yeah,
kind of
all right.
There's a theme here.
Sure.
And so so my brother lived in the city, and he threw out the idea of running the New York City Marathon. And I said, you know what? Let's do it. So I was able to sign up for it. He was able to get into it. And so that kind of rekindled the start.
Was that your first marathon?
That was my first marathon. And so it started that process. I was still very naive and young to the marathon. Even though I had run in high school and college, I was still very, I think, inexperienced when it came to like the bigger overall plan of running.
Endurance.
Endurance.
Because it is different, like a 5K and an 8K compared to a half marathon or a mm-hmm. marathon, it's like a different animal.
Completely.
Really.
Completely. And so we ended up running together. The race went well. The race went well, but I struggled towards the end. I blew up, so to speak.
Sure.
But I think that was like the first scratching of that itch. New York is a fantastic race. If anyone's ever run New York or ever wants to run a marathon, I would say it's one of the best ones to do. The crowd support's amazing. It's electric. It's just a ton of fun. So that was kind of the beginning of that progression now.
It was kind of like, man, I can do this in my regular life. Because, I mean, at least mm-hmm. for me, it was like, oh, you know, you're always running for a school type thing mm-hmm. and, you know, doing it on my own. When did you decide I'm going to train a little bit more seriously than the average runner?
So there are a couple of different things. So I started to realize there's a running app I use called Strava, and I've got all of my buddies are on it. And I was seeing the training that people were still putting in that I knew that were post-collegiate, and I realized I really wasn't training that hard compared to what other people were doing. And so I like to think that there's some sort of competitive edge in my head that I want to continue to keep pushing and being competitive. And that was really the big thing, was just seeing what I could do. I still had the drive. I still had the passion for it. So put in the work while I can. And so I just continued to keep training, stacking. I say with running, you really develop when you can stack consistency. It might not necessarily be the quality of the workouts, but just doing time and time again, it really starts to accumulate. So I just slowly continue to get better.
So give an example of that. What do you mean? Like just having like really good, like
consistent,
good sets of weekends, long runs type thing.
And, so it's not necessarily like having one good week and then taking a week off and then having 2 good weeks and then, oh, take some downtime. It really takes consistent, just what your body can handle. Everyone's body is different, but just consistent week after week and workout after workout, long after long run. And it just really starts to snowball, so to speak.
So then kind of leading up into, I know we're kind of going over 10 years here almost, yeah. but to get to this point of the California International Marathon, just talk about that part of your career. How many, like, were you doing one marathon a year? Like, when did you, and then when did you decide, like, whoa, I can qualify for the Olympic trail? Like,
yeah. So, trying to think of the progression. So the first couple of marathons I ran, I ran New York twice, but then the first time that I really had that kind of like the aha moment of like, I could probably run pretty quick, is I ran Chicago in 2019, mm-hmm. and I ran 2 hours and 22 minutes. And at that point, I really didn't have, I went to that race not thinking about any qualifying time, anything like that. I just went in there and wanted to race hard, mm-hmm. and I ran 2:22. And I think at that time, the Olympic trials qualifier was 2:19, I think, or 2:18. It was something along those lines. And I thought to myself, I was like, oh, I'm only about 3.5 minutes away at that point. If I really put my nose to the grindstone, I might be able to hit that time.
Right.
And then COVID happened. And so COVID, as we all know, kind of shut everything down. It kind of took the wind out of a lot of people's sails because unpredictable how long it was going to be. Races were done. And so when things started to open back up in 2022, so to speak, started training again. And then in 2023, I was in the best shape of my life. I was going to run Boston that year and was targeting the Olympic trial qualifier in that race. Ended up hurting myself. Mm. So ended up training a little too hard, flew too close to the sun, ended up hurting myself. And so that was kind of a setback, and just wondering if I was ever going to get back to the same level, all that good stuff. And so this is a long-winded answer.
No, but, it's good. I asked for it.
So finally, after I recovered and things were starting to hum along, 2:18 was still the number. And I still had a little bit of time to try and hit that time for the 2024 Olympic trials. Tried one more time at the Wine Glass Marathon, mm-hmm. and went for it, blew up, crashed and burned. And so that window closed. So fast forward then to 2025 now. Mm-hmm. I ran Boston earlier this year, and I hadn't PR'd in the marathon in 6 years at this point. So my PR was from
Chicago.
That's
a long time.
In a 10-year, so 6 years had gone by I was swinging and missing, and I was kind of losing a little bit of motivation because I was feeling like I wasn't getting.
You got your life. I mean, you know, you have your family, and it's right.
Things are happy. You get older.
It's like, Dad, we need you for a little bit. You know,
exactly. Exactly. So Boston, 2025 was like my next big race, and I ended up PRing. I ran 2:20, like 2:20:40 roughly. I was like, okay.
You got to see the right course on the right day.
Exactly. And I felt so, because at that same thing at that time, the time was still 2:18. So I'm like, okay, I'm 2 minutes away. So I was like, if I get a good course, maybe a little bit better training block, I think I can get 2:18. Then they announce it's now 2:16. So they chopped 2 more minutes off of it. And so again, I kind of, not completely discouraged, but kind of took the wind out of a couple of guys I run with, kind of our sales, saying, man, 2 minutes is an eternity, especially when you start getting lower and lower in time.
Just for people know, like what you ran, the 2:15, whatever, that's like a 5:10.
Roughly, yeah.
Per mile, just so that people have like an understanding of what we're talking about. So
it's about 16 minutes per 5K.
Which is crazy, but so go on. So you find out that it's that low.
And so I, obviously with my family, and with running, you just never know how much longer you have with it. You never know injury, you never know life changes, things like that. And so the California International Marathon it's a fast course. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that you go there to run quick. The competition's really good. And I said, I'm going to sign up for it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to commit to it. This might be the last chance I have to throw a time on the board. Mm-hmm. And so progressed through the fall. I ran a bunch of races. I ran the Bethlehem Running Festival. That went really well.
Me too. I was out there.
It was great. The hardest course. I love that. The hardest course.
What is that? Like mile whatever where it goes up through Main Street?
Yep.
Oh, it's just like, you're like, why am I doing this? Yep. Can I just, yes.
Yep. Anyone who puts a hill that big after 10 miles and a half marathon.
It's like Bart Yasso.
Yep. Yeah. So I ran that. That went well. And just training was going really, really well. Mm-hmm. And I got to the race, and it was the U.S. championship as well from the marathon. Mm-hmm. So there was a specialized field that we were really – I said this to somebody else. They do a fantastic job of really catering to the elites and the sub-elites. They make sure that they put things in place to make us ready to run as fast as possible. They gave us pacers and our own start time, or not start time, but start line, and all these different things. So the stars were aligning at that point. The weather was good. And yeah, sure enough, I can go into the gory details about how the race went, but ended up running 2:15:24.
Right, which, I mean, at the end of the day, if you stopped here, like, that's an incredible PR to just have, like, boom, that's what I've done. But this gets you to the next step.
I got one more at least.
And, I mean, at this point, you know, right, it's kitchen sink, right? Yep. What is, I mean, we have a couple years here, but, like, what's your approach? You know, just try to stay with that consistency,
yep.
Call your brother, I guess.
Yeah, see what he's doing.
Yeah.
So obviously 2.5 years is a long time before a race. So what I'm hoping to do is, again, just remain consistent. But like you said, try maybe something different. Maybe try a different style of training block. Try different types of workouts, different fueling strategies. Get to kind of just play around a little bit, because it's not like it's next week or 3 months from now. But yeah, just put as much work as possible. Maybe try some other fun, like I say, just try and have a little bit of fun now.
Sure.
'Cause this time has been a focus of mine for the past roughly 4 years or so. And I've been so focused on hitting it. So now that I did hit it, it's kind of like the monkey's off my back a little bit.
Let the air out of the balloon a little bit before you need to.
Exactly. Try some like off distances. Right. Like try to maybe PR.
There's a Cupid run on Valentine's Day. I'm doing that.
Oh.
Steel stacks, you know.
There we go.
Right? I'm on run sign up, like looking for stuff now that I'm kind of getting back into it.
So try and find just maybe off distances and just enjoy it. Still race hard, still train really, really hard. But again, not have the same just hard focus. Because like you had asked before about how many marathons I've had. This is my 11th marathon.
Oh.
And you can really only get about 2 a year. And typically a spring and fall before your body's like,
You're just one of those insane people who just, yes.
Which I don't know how they do, by the way.
You're saying that. It's great, right?
So not necessarily having to train so aggressively for a marathon could, again, free up more time to do other
races. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about like the running community and Team Vark, which is the Aardvark running store on Main Street in Bethlehem. They're awesome. Can you talk a little bit about that? Just like running in Bethlehem. What do you enjoy about it?
Yeah. So like I said before, coming up in the Poconos, there was a little bit of run community, but not really.
I grew up in Honesdale.
So, okay.
So it's like, I miss running by myself in the woods, but that's all you got to do, right?
That's it. Yep. So going from that to something like Bethlehem and with Aardvark and Team Vark and having a community of people around you, it makes it so much more enjoyable to do all those different things. Because like you said, I spend so much time training by myself, so many runs by myself, workouts by myself, that anytime I have the opportunity to run with friends in that community, it makes it so much more enjoyable. And I always say too, it doesn't matter what paces you run. It doesn't matter how far you're going. It's just, I enjoy running with my friends because I get to socialize and again, just get to do something that I don't usually do. So I would say it's so special to me as well, because a lot of these races, I call them hometown races now. Mm-hmm. So anytime Bethlehem Running Festival or like the St. Patrick's Day 5K, any of these local races, there's always that Team Vark presence, that running community presence, cheering for you, supporting you. So it's just a wonderful community to be a part of.
It is infectious, and it's fun to, you know, even for somebody like me who's a little older, getting back into it. So I'm just like, come on, let's go. You know, there's zero judgment, so it's really awesome. And also the running community, I would imagine, is going to be supporting you. I mean, I was getting text messages from people that, like, he qualified. So it's awesome that there's that much excitement and support. And I know that the Bethlehem and greater Lehigh Valley, you know, community is excited for you. I'm here in your house, you know what I mean? Like, it's amazing. I'm really pulling for you. So.
Yeah, and that's the things that go through your mind as you're racing, and like the things you think about is, as the race was progressing, I was kind of in disbelief that the race was going so well. And obviously the day before, my phone, people were saying good luck and sending supportive messages and things like that. So you think about all those different people, all those different messages as the race is going on.
Yeah.
And so I just kept going mile after mile, and I was still on pace. And I was already with about 10K to go. I was thinking about everybody else, and thinking, I can't wait to, again, celebrate with everybody, see the messages coming through. And it almost became, I didn't want to fail for everybody else. And obviously it's not that people think that, but
of course, but
I didn't want to not do it for everybody, because everyone's shown so much, again, love and support and everything like that. So I feel like it was a real community effort, so to speak.
And you didn't come this far to not, again, throw it all in for the trials. Stranger things have happened, right?
Also
you know,
true.
So, you know, what is, I would imagine your goal is to, hey, hit that top three and hit the qualifying time. I mean, it's insane, yeah. Right? But you're there.
So, yeah. So that's my goal as of now is, again, it's just the first goal is to get there. So now that I'm there, I always jokingly say, if I come in last, I'll still be the happiest guy there.
Yes.
I made it to that race.
Sure.
But obviously, me being a very competitive person, mm-hmm. my goal is to place as high as possible, to race hard. And no particular time is, I don't care what time I run.
Because it depends on the race, too,
depends
right?
On the course, yeah. Race, all that good stuff. So my goal is just race as hard as I can. Who knows what time I could run at that time. Obviously, I think the top three is a little far-fetched just because I think about those guys being so much more elite than I am.
And it's great that America's become very strong in distance running, I guess, again or whatever. But hey, I don't know. Yeah. You know, everyone catch you out. Yeah.
Everyone says, what if they all have a bad day? And it's like, well, theoretically, then
it's truth.
Point.
It's truth.
Yeah.
Well, we're pulling for you. I'm pulling for you. I hope I can come out on a jog with you in the neighborhood. I literally can throw a football and hit your house. So it's so neat. We got to do like I need to have you on my running team as like the ringer.
The anchor, yeah.
So we're going to have to talk. At some point we can do that. But Alex, I appreciate you having me over. So proud. Like, it's so neat to have somebody, not only a neighbor, but somebody from Bethlehem who's going to compete for us. And we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming by. It's
absolutely.
A pleasure.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So much,